And Dan, I believe we move back to you now.
Yeah, so I'm Dan Tartikoff. I've met and worked with a number of you over the years. I'm with the Office of Policy and Legal Analysis, one of the nonpartisan staff offices. I'm a legislative analyst, and I have been working in that capacity since early 2014. This will be my eighth session, I think, staffing the ENR committee. And over those years, I've also engaged in a number of other subject matters. Representative Bloom and Representative Hanley served with me on the, I guess not really served, I staffed and they served on the Joint Standing Committee on Marijuana Legalization Implementation. Apologies, it was a select committee. That was a fun 2-year process. And I've also done some work on the VLA committee, and I was on criminal justice for a while as well, but I've been with ENR since I started. I live in Hollowell with my wife and two young children. I have two boys, one's 2, one is 4. And for everyone pining to be a grandparent, I'm willing to rent them out because we've all been cooped up and it's destroying the house. So I'm going to be co-staffing this session with Deirdre Schneider, who is also in my office, and I'll give her a chance to introduce herself and then I'll go over some materials.
I am Deirdre Schneider. Like Dan, I started in early 2014 with OPLA as well. I always like to tease him that I have one day of seniority over him. When I started here, I staffed a transportation committee. I've done 4 years on EUT. I've done IF&W, Marine Resources, and Labor and Housing. And this session, I'll be back to EUT and ENR, and Dan and I will be co-staffing those together.
So I sent out a link to all of you to the ENR committee webpage where we will be endeavoring this session to post materials. If we're not able to post them in time for a meeting, I'll be sending the materials to you by email directly. But as we've been instructed to treat this as a paperless legislature, we're going to try to provide those materials in an easy to access format for you. So there's a ton of orientation materials, some of which were required to hand out, others are sort of an FYI. I believe 11 of the 13 of you have been a legislator already previous to this. So I probably am not going to go through the, how a bill becomes a law spreadsheet that we have on there. But if you are reviewing any of those materials that I don't go over and you'd like to talk with me more about them, I'm happy to talk with you, any of you one-on-one, to discuss them. So I'm going to attempt a screen share. So you should all be able to see the website right now, the OPLA website, and this is where we're going to be posting all of those materials. The first document on there is just a description of what OPLA is and what we do. Most of you are familiar with OPLA staff there, other than in the Taxation Committee and the Appropriations and Financial Affairs Committee. They are the person that you will all see in committee at the front of the room. They're the people that will guide you through the committee process, deal with all the scheduling. We provide analyses of the bills before you. We draft amendments to the bills that you vote on or consider. And so listed here are the primary areas of our staff services. So we provide policy and legal research, analysis of legislation and issues before the committee, and assisting the committee with its consideration of legislation. That's both substantive and technical in terms of helping the chairs with all of the scheduling, making sure you all hit your committee deadlines and get your work done in a timely fashion. We draft committee papers, committee amendments, committee bills, reports, and correspondence. We deal with some other matters, such as the evaluations of agencies under the Government Evaluation Act, quasi-independent reviews, which ENR doesn't have any, you're lucky. And then I've noted here as well, there's other services such as assisting individual legislators with drafting and information requests. We staff over the interim various legislative study commissions, whether they're one-time or permanent. We do internal studies and we do staff studies as well. And then once the session starts up, we also assist the Office of the Revisor of Statutes in drafting bills, which we're all having a really fun time doing right now. And as I go along, if anyone has a question, please interrupt me. Those of you who are returning are likely familiar with the legislative confidentiality policy. Nonpartisan legislative staff are governed by a strict confidentiality policy, which makes all communications between legislators and nonpartisan staff confidential and requires us to protect the confidentiality of requests for assistance, advice, or info, working papers, draft bills, resolutions, orders, or amendments. This is to ensure that you can have trust in us and you can access our services under that trust. So of course, if any matter we're working on that is confidential, you would like to be shared with anyone, you can certainly waive confidentiality, but we take that very seriously. We think it's a very important aspect of our job. And I could go in more depth about the confidentiality policy with any of you off mic, but it's an important aspect of our job. I'm sort of jumping around here. Senator Brenner indicated that we would be touching briefly on the model committee rules of procedure, but that we wouldn't be having a substantive discussion today. And so on that page where all the materials are posted, I posted a copy of the model committee rules of procedure that have been adopted for this legislature by the presiding officers, as well as what I'm showing you right now, which is the COVID/electronic meetings addendum to those model rules. I've also posted a copy of the committee rules for the ENR committee from last legislature, which were modified by the committee at the beginning of that legislature and approved by the presiding officers. When you go through those rules, you'll notice there are a number of additions that have been made to the model rules. That's something that committees can discuss and propose for review and possibly approval by the presiding officers. The committee rules of procedure will govern how the committee process works. A lot of the rules address aspects of an in-person committee process, which may seem less critical at this point, but these rules will govern committee procedures for the entire 130th legislature, so this year and next year. I believe the plan is to have me go over the committee rules very briefly, as I've done right now, and then for each of you to review those documents and consider whether there are any changes you'd like to propose to the committee. And we're going to schedule a future discussion, a more substantive discussion of those model rules. That will hopefully end in a committee vote to send either the rules as they're proposed to leadership or with additional proposed changes. That will happen likely some point next week. I did want to touch briefly on the COVID addendum. And there are three items I'd like to cover on here. The first is with respect to what is considered present for the purposes of an electronic meeting. And so my understanding of this addendum is that you are considered present for a legislator is considered present for the purposes of a meeting when they are joining the meeting using the Zoom platform and when their identity is quote unquote visually verifiable on the platform. And what that means is if you are joining the meeting by audio only, you are not considered present for the purposes of the meeting. You can still participate in the meeting, but you have to be joined by video and audio in order to be considered present for the purposes of a quorum and present for the purposes of recording a vote. I would also note sorry, it's on the next page. This D here, a member who is absent at the time of a vote and later registers that vote shall register in the manner authorized under paragraph C, which is by electronic means as required. I would note that the exact procedure for this, I believe, is still being developed. No committees, to my knowledge, have taken any votes yet, but our expectation is that the presiding officers will approve an electronic process for registering that vote. We just don't know what that would be at this point. I'll move on from there if there's no other questions. This is a document that I prepared, trying to give an overview to all of you of our anticipated workload for this session. As I've noted here, there are 79 total bill requests that are indexed to ENR. The indexing process is a process we use in the nonpartisan offices to try to manage the flow of bill requests coming in. It's not an exact science. So just because 79 bills are indexed to ENR, that doesn't mean that they're all going to be referred to ENR when they're printed. So that 79 bill requests includes 66 bills filed by legislators and 12 bills filed by agencies. I have a breakdown here generally of the subject matters based on that indexing system where the legislator filed bills come in. For those who like numbers, the potential bill count is down this session somewhat compared to where it was at 2 years ago. So a couple notes here. We already talked about this a little bit beforehand, but the committee will be involved with the review of the governor's budget. That includes both the supplemental budget for FY21, as well as the biennial budget, which I believe the Appropriations Committee will be starting work on once they finish the supplemental budget. They're in possession of both of those documents. The Government Evaluation Act, which I'll talk about a little bit more, which requires state agencies to undergo a periodic review by the legislature. I believe it's every 8 years. And so during the 130th legislature, the Saco River Corridor Commission is scheduled for review under the GEA. We'll talk about that a little bit more. I'm going to skip over four for now. We'll talk about that when we have a regulatory agenda. Review of major substantive rules. I won't go into this much because at this time, we're not expecting any major substantive rules this session. That could change, and then I would talk more about that, but that's that. There's a number of reports I've listed here that may be of interest to the committee. The first, second, and third item, the Climate Action Plan update, the report on petroleum storage tank emissions, and the Maine Climate Council report. We've received, and actually we also received the solid waste generation and disposal capacity report. So I understand that we may be having briefings on some of those reports. We are going to be hearing from the Climate Council on Wednesday. So I think that is all I have to go over today. I'd be happy to answer any questions anyone might have. And as I indicated earlier, if you'd like to talk off mic about any of these documents, I'd be happy to do that as well.
Any questions for Dan at this point? I don't see any raised hands. Any of you? Representative Tucker.
The question about presence requiring video makes me worry about whether we're going to lose Representative Ziegler. Even if he's on the phone and we all recognize his voice and he's yelling and screaming about something and he wants to vote, we can't let him vote. He has to wait and then vote afterwards through leadership. apparently. I wonder if leadership has considered people who can only participate by telephone having some way to register their vote. It's just a thought I had. I wondered how serious is Representative Ziegler's problem? Is it that he can't do any video from his home, or is it just a bad signal? I'd like to hear from him if I could.
You can, Ralph. Do you hear me now? I'm just having trouble with this particular webcam, and I have a laptop which I can adjust. And since we're not voting on anything, and you really don't need to see me today, you can enjoy your morning that much more. I'm just trying to work the webcam out this morning. If not, if I have problems, I'll go to my laptop. But I also have a very slow internet connection, and it'll go in and out periodically. So I have to deal with that. And if so, I may have to drive to Augusta at some point if we have issues. I should be able to do it over the phone, I hope, visually from the iPhone. Anyway, I'm working through my problems, and I can go to, do you need to see me on the laptop now, Ralph?
No, I recognize your voice. I wondered if any other members of the committee are anticipating problems because they live out in the sticks somewhere or away from good service.
And I would just note that a member who is appearing by audio only can still participate in every aspect of the meeting, other than they cannot record a vote and they cannot count for the purposes of a quorum as I read the COVID addendum to the rules. And I would suggest that if Representative Ziegler has continued issues with this and would like to be recording his votes and be counting for purposes of quorum, that he could probably bring that issue up with his respective leadership. And I imagine that there could be some sort of a situation reached for that.
Thank you very much.
Are there any additional questions? All right, at this time, before we move into the acting commissioner's presentation, I just want to extend a very hearty thank you to Dan and Deirdre and Sabrina for helping to launch this session so expertly. I really appreciate your guidance and help. Thank you.